7:01 p.m. The date is March 27, 2018. This is the Genoa Township Board of Zoning Appeals. And we will start by calling the roll. Ms. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Boone?
Here.
Ms. Driscoll?
Here.
And Mr. Phillips?
Here.
Okay. And Ms. Yu is absent. Oh, and I also, before we move along, I want to welcome Ms. Driscoll. She was formerly an alternate member of the board, and now I understand she has been appointed to a full member for a full term. So congrats.
You can change it already.
Well, it's not official until next.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, moving along. The first order of business is review and approval of the minutes. I'll give you a moment to review if you have not done so, and then I will entertain a motion to approve. And these are the minutes from February 27th, 2018.
Motion to approve.
Okay, Ms. Driscoll has made a motion to approve.
Second.
Second by Mr. Boone. Any revisions, any discussion? Okay, hearing none, I will call the roll. Mr. Boone?
Yes.
Ms. Driscoll?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Abstain.
Okay, Ms. Smith?
Yes.
And the chair votes yes. The motion is carried, minutes are approved. And it is now 7:03, and we will go into the public hearing, and at this time I'll call the meeting to order and read the legal notice into the record. Everyone that wishes to speak on the matter, please stand and be sworn in. Don't be shy. Okay. Are you sure? You know, you're going
to
say no now, but 10 minutes, you're going to say this is a good idea that you got sworn in. Trust me. But raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help you God?
I do.
Thank you. Be seated. I will read the application of the record. John A. Bryant and Michelle M. Greaves requesting approval of a conditional use permit for section 1609.01F. To allow for living space in an existing accessory building located at 7564 Plum Road, Galena, Ohio, 43021, parcel number 317-210-04008-000, currently zoned rural residential, that's RR, and this is BZA case 2018-02. And we will start with staff's presentation.
Thank you, Mark. The subject parcel, known as 7564 Plum Road, Galena, Ohio, 43082, the parcel was created from the subdivision of a 3-acre parcel. They subdivided into a 1.3 on 1.4 acre parcel, and it was platted as Green's Pond in August of 1986. At the time the property was subdivided, the subject property lot 1412 contained a house and a barn, and the lot 1413 contained a pond but no structures at that time. According to the Delaware County Auditor's website, the house on the property was built in 1860. The previous owner, Jeff Borey, had obtained a variance in March of 1996 to allow for an addition to the existing barn. At the time of that request, the zoning resolution only allowed a 1,200 square foot accessory building on a lot less than 3 acres. And Mr. Boyes had a variance application to allow him to add on to the existing barn so he could store his motorhome. some additional storage for personal items. His reason for that was because the house didn't have a basement, and then he also wanted a space for exercise. And that was granted in 1996, and he subsequently got a zoning permit application for that addition. And that the application had a site plan or a plan that showed that the barn would have a bathroom and a heated area. According to the auditor's site, the subject parcel was purchased by the applicant, Mr. Bryant, in 2005, and he had contacted us last month in February concerning the need for the conditional use permit. He's has his property up for sale, and the lender evidently won't approve the lending for the buyer until he has the proper approvals from the township.
Okay. Anything else?
The accessory building section of the code, section 1609.01F, is the part of the code that makes the requirement for the conditional use permit. Otherwise, without the conditional use permit, the code does not allow living space or occupancy in an accessory building.
Okay. You've received some phone calls concerning the application, it says on the staff report.
I did receive a couple phone calls. We do have a couple of residents here tonight.
Sure.
I didn't get any real negative responses, just a lot of questions, and it seemed like the neighbors did, the ones who called, did know that the barn had living space in it.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't like a surprise.
Oh, okay. Got you. All right. But there wasn't any objections.
Nobody's, you know, come out and said that they, you know, I would assume if they were, they would come to the meeting.
Okay.
But okay. That's just an assumption on my part.
Okay. Well, they tend to be a little vocal here in the township when you don't like something. So I think you can kind of intuitively infer that.
I thought one neighbor was, she said she was coming, but she's not here.
Okay. Well, we'll be here for a while, so you drop by. Okay. Anyone have any questions for staff? Offhand, or should we hear from the applicant? Go ahead.
Is this property a single family dwelling?
It's zoned rural residential, and it is single family. But currently it has living space, and it has a house, and then it has some living space in the barn.
Does it meet the criteria for rural residential in every other way except for this?
I don't know for sure. I mean, okay. It's an existing lot of record. It's not 2 acres.
Right, that's one concern, is that it's not 2 acres, which I think is the
But when it was subdivided, I think it was,
right.
The criteria was then 1 acre.
It was, so it's a grandfather, it's probably a legal non-conforming grandfather use, okay. And it was built in 1860, so it's got to be one of the oldest structures in the township. I know there's one up here, and one over here. And, I know there's a few in the township, but... Okay, let's hear from...
One question.
Oh, go ahead.
The square footage, you just reminded me of this. The square footage would not be an issue then if this conditional use is granted?
Currently, we have the 10% lot coverage.
Right.
And it appears that it would be okay with that 10% lot coverage.
It would conform to the
I didn't calculate that, but...
Okay. That's a really good consideration, too. Do we know how much, and maybe we have to ask the applicant, but how much is finished living space in the accessory unit? No.
I don't know. That would be a question
We'll be finding out. Okay. The applicant, Mr. Bryant. Sir, you can either come to the podium, or if you have your builder or architect, somebody with you, you guys can sit at the table and hear one. Sorry. And please introduce yourself. Address?
My name is John Bryant. Address is 7564 Plum Road. You already went through what my remarks were going to be, so just wanted to talk about a little bit about the barn has been there for 21 years in its present condition. And to my knowledge, we've never had a single complaint of any sort, even to the prior owner. He kind of left town and left us in a bad position here because we had no idea that this was not fully permitted. Of course, that always brings up the question: is why, you know, what happened when you bought it? And I don't know the answer to that question. Why, you know, these things didn't come up then? But what we'd like to do is give the prospective owners the same privileges as we had. And we do have an offer to purchase it, to do what we did, which was to buy the house and barn for occupancy. And the lending institution does require a conditional use permit in order to approve the loan. And so we're in a really bad position here. Not that that's a reason necessarily, but it's certainly an additional consideration. Because I know we've been Genoa Township residents for, close to 13 years now, and we love this place. And it's only, unfortunately, a divorce that's causing that, causing us to leave. But I did bring some pictures that I thought I'd share with you if I can pass those.
Now, are those in addition to the ones that we got?
They are, yes. They are in addition to.
Okay. Susan, can I ask a question while I pass and the pictures are in? And maybe I was confused. When I saw what you sent to us in the email, I misunderstood what the variance was for. I thought it was for an addition to the barn, not for construction of the barn.
Correct. He said 20-some years in its present condition. So there was an existing barn.
Okay.
Right.
And the prior owner remodeled
right.
the barn.
Right. How much was added on to the existing, do you recall?
I can only give you just from...
Round numbers is good.
Yeah. They told us, they being the listing real estate when we bought it, that it was 2,400 square feet. It is not 2,400 square feet.
Okay.
I'm going to guess it's probably 1,900, maybe 1,800.
Okay.
I'm going to give it about half and half, half finished and half unfinished.
Didn't we have a drawing? Because you sent us the old variance application, and I don't see it. Is it in here? And I don't see it.
I have the full size and shrunken size. Which one do you want?
It wasn't part of this application, so I didn't.
I understand. Well, I think the background is important.
It's a bathroom with a sauna, shower. It has
just in the addition.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, the remainder of the barn is just
a barn.
Yeah, barn. But it has 9-inch steel reinforced concrete floors in it.
Okay.
I don't know whether he wanted to land a Boeing 727 in there or why he put that much in there. It's insane.
Well, I think that the idea was to park a motorhome.
And he did. But that's still a lot of concrete and steel. And right outside the barn, he's got a big turnaround so he can, handle this, the RV and on the property. The house is 2,000 square feet, right on the nose.
Did I understand it correctly? When he made the original application for a variance, it was to park the motorhome in the extension.
That's correct, yes.
So it was not intended to go in the barn.
Well, when I say in the barn, the extension of the barn is in the, I consider that to be in the barn, if you will. There's a finished side where the housing part is, and then the unfinished side. And that's,
the housing part is behind the barn? Is that how it's set up?
It's east and kind of east and west of it, but there it's all one structure.
Yeah. Okay.
The whole barn is all one structure.
Okay.
I can verify that.
So,
I went through it.
Let me see if I can kind of drill this down then. The addition was going to have an exercise area. It was going to add on to the barn so he could park his motor home in it.
Correct. Right.
And then a bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that's what the board in 1996 approved.
Right.
Okay. Now, tell me about what it is today. Because I see a living area, I see a kitchen, I see a bath, I see a...
That's correct.
Okay. How much is living area and how much is barn area? Percentage, 50-50?
50-50.
Okay.
Yeah.
So half of it is built out in the living space, and the other half is
parked
cars, put hay,
right.
Farm implements, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's
so
more,
basically,
it's an upscale barn. Okay.
I'm not even there yet.
Gotcha. Okay.
So what's happened is the board approved A, which was a sauna, an exercise area, bathroom, and really parking space. And today it's kitchen, living room, bathroom, living space,
right.
Whatever, bedroom, I don't know. Is this space, aside from you, your use, your personal use, is it occupied?
The barn?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it used for your personal use? Is it used for commercial purposes? Is it used for... what is it, Airbnb, anything like that?
My personal use, yes. No on anything else. And it'll be no to any other question you ask.
Okay.
We have the biggest, the most people we've ever had in there, we've probably had 20 people for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And we roll in tables, you know, kind of
you
thing.
Didn't call me?
I'm sorry. I didn't know you then.
You'll want to call me.
I'll get you. I promise.
Okay. So... All right, so I guess my question, the real question and something for the board to think about is, how did we get from what we approved in 1996 to where we are today
mm-hmm.
with the existing structure? That is of concern to me, and I don't think that really has anything to do with
it. I understand.
Yeah. My suspicion is, when you bought it, that's what you saw and that's what you bought.
Exactly.
So between when it was approved in 1996 and you bought it in 05 or 06?
Five.
Okay. In that 9-year period, it was improved beyond what was approved.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get my arms around.
Yeah. And I've kind of reconstructed that by, at least on the barn, they had the sense to write on the inside of the barn the name of the architect
mm-hmm.
and the name of the builder.
Okay.
So I Googled them both and contacted them both
okay.
in order to put together the history of the barn.
What were his original plans then? Were they
Borey,
the
former owner?
Yes. Because his original plans must have been different than what he brought to the board.
That's a whole other story in and of itself
okay,
about
well,
that guy.
I'd like to get home tonight. So
yeah, it's...
Move on.
Put it this way, I'll just give you a quick taste
sure.
of his. I got a call from my next-door neighbor after I bought the house, and she says, Jermaine, his wife or girlfriend or whatever, was over in the front yard digging out flower bulbs. And she says, do you want me to say something to her? And Borey had sent her down there to do that. I said, you know, she has bigger problems than me if she's got a husband or a boyfriend or whatever sending her down to do work like that at a time like this. I said, please don't bother her. She's got enough problems on her hands.
Okay.
So that's just one example.
I understand.
It can go on.
Okay. I think I'm good. Anybody else, Mark?
Mr. Bright, when you went through the property before you bought it,
mm-hmm.
what did you see in that area? What was there when you...
The only thing different, that's a good question. The only thing different than what you see in there was it did not have carpet and it did not have tile. It was just concrete floors, the whole thing.
Was it heated and air conditioned then?
It was heated. It was not air conditioned. I put the air conditioning in there. Thank you.
Were there furnishings in it?
Yes.
What was in there?
Just kind of rustic furniture, and he had an old style widescreen TV, you know, the big kind of looks like a
80s style.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Did it look as though he was living there?
They were living in it and using it.
I mean, concrete floors. It wouldn't have been necessarily home.
No, I don't know. He's
did
different.
When you bought it and you saw that, did you? And the only way I can ask this is to ask it this way: is did you attribute a lot of value to those improvements to the kitchen and the living room?
Oh, sure. You know, it was like a kind of, you know, we jokingly called it a barn with a house. It's just, it's really a special place.
Okay.
And, I mean, it's very nice.
Okay. I'm sorry, Mark, I hopped in on you.
No, that's fine. I was curious what you perceived at the time that you bought it.
And that's what made me think of the same thing.
Many called it the ultimate man cave.
Yeah. Like what it is.
Okay. If you had six cars parked in there, for me that would be the ultimate.
Okay. I know you
have machinery doesn't really do it.
Prospective owners, I mean buyers.
Right.
Can you tell me what their intention is for the use of this space?
As far as I know, they're going to do the same thing with it we're doing. I have no information to my knowledge that anything else is going to be used for.
I need to ask. That reminds me, I need to ask staff a question. This conditional use permit, if we approve it, is it for a fixed period of time? Is it for a particular owner? Or what is that attached to? Because as I recall, those are not, because we don't see many of them, those are not for an indefinite period. Is that correct? That is not correct. It is for an indefinite period.
Right. It's going to go with the land.
It does. Oh, it does attach. Why did I think that it doesn't? Okay.
But what I read said that if it's not continuously used for a period of 6 months, the permit automatically expires. So it does have
a conditional use permit?
Mm-hmm. Something we were provided said that if it...
Is it in the code?
No.
See, I thought it was... Maybe that's what I'm thinking of, is if it's not used for a specific period, then it expires. Maybe that's what I was thinking of, because I didn't think it attached.
But used in what way?
The way we're approving.
I mean, for someone to actually live there or for someone to...
tear out the living space.
Well, the alternative to us approving it, yes, that's exactly.
Well, I mean, if you were going to enforce that, I mean, we'd have to have a legal opinion if that's enforceable or not. But
didn't we just revise this? No, not the conditional use.
Signs. If somebody didn't use it for 6 months. I mean, it would still be there. I mean, if they didn't physically go out there, it would still be there. So I think this conditional use would still be in effect.
I don't know. I'm not an attorney, so I don't know. Okay.
I have another neighbor just got here.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else?
Okay.
So do you have anyone else to speak on your behalf for the application?
Okay.
No, did you brought somebody with you? Or?
Well.
I'm just here for moral support to help.
Oh, okay.
He's a lifelong friend.
The builder. Yeah. Okay. Because sometimes when we have applications, the builder will present or they'll say this is what we're going to do. But I know this is a little atypical, so I just wanted to give you an opportunity.
Yeah, thank you.
So, okay. All right. Those that have been sworn in that are neighbors and wish to, or actually anyone from the public that wishes to speak for or against the application, please come up to the podium, your name and address, and state your statement.
Good evening. My name's David Klein, and I'm at 7540 Plum Road, next door neighbor.
Okay.
I'm speaking, you know, in favor. I'd much rather have it a conditional living space than the alternative. I mean, right now, I mean, it's very well manicured. I mean, we call it a barn. In my mind, it's not even a barn. I mean, it's so clean that even the unfinished area is spotless. I mean, it's, you know, you can store stuff in it, but it's very clean. It's not like a barn where you've got manure and everything else from cattle, and, you know, but I'd rather have it this way. There's no way, as a living space, you're going to haul, put animals in there, or, you know, goats or whatever else they want to do with it. I mean, it's not by any means a barn. I'd rather live next door to this like I've been for the last 12 years than any other purpose. I mean, part of the reason I bought it is because, I mean, it's farm country up that way, and to have a cute little barn in the back just adds to the aesthetics of my property and their property and, you know, everything else. Okay. So.
Okay. Right. Thank you. Yep. Thank you, Mr. Klein. Sir, did you have a comment? You haven't been
sure.
Sworn in.
Yeah, come on out
to the podium, be sworn in, and then we'll get your name and address, and you can make
sure.
Your statement. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Thank you. State your name and
address. My name's Doug Stasniak. I live at 7590 Plum Road. I live on the other side of Jack from Dave. And I just want to echo what Dave said. Barn's beautiful. We've taken family pictures out there, and you know, it's kept up nice. And
okay.
You know, Jack's always been a great neighbor. But I have no problems with this application at all.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay. Anybody else wish to speak? Okay. No.
Can I ask Mr. Bryan a question?
Sure. Absolutely. Mr. Bryan, if you come back.
Sure.
Okay. And we just ask you to come to the podium so we can, for the recording.
Of course.
Mr. Bryan, I guess my question is, after listening to everyone, is your conditional use just for this extension, or is it for the entire barn now? Is the barn, could the next purchaser come in and have goats, for example, in the barn, or are we intending to change the entire use of the barn?
Well, in my opinion, it would be intended to change the entire and change it, you know, in perpetuity.
The entire structure?
Yes.
So it'll no longer be a barn for rural purposes?
Right. But it's not really built for that anyways. If you look at the unfinished side, it's not really built for that.
No, the unfinished side has a concrete floor?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's concrete wall and
yeah. He built that for storage, for first and foremost for that RV. Secondly, for just storage, metal bolts into the concrete, sunken, for purpose of putting up scaffolding. You can't put animals in a barn that has metal bolts coming up out of the floor, out of the concrete floor.
And there's a staircase that goes upstairs and around
yes.
to a small storage, like an attic,
right.
and then into another bedroom.
There's actually a loft bedroom up in that.
Oh, there is. So there's one or two bedrooms.
Just one.
Upstairs.
Just one bedroom.
Just one bedroom.
Mm-hmm. One bedroom, one kitchen, one living room, one
right.
bath.
Correct.
It's upstairs in the back because
yeah.
I went up there and looked
right.
at it.
Right.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
You're welcome.
Can I add something to Mark's question?
Yes, please.
It would be my thought that if a new owner came in there and they wanted to use it for an ag purpose, they could do that.
They could.
I would think so.
So the conditional use doesn't override that. We're approving a specific use, which would be for human occupancy, right? And you're saying it could be a dual purpose use.
Excuse me, do you have to have 5 acres to have cooked animals? Did you know?
No. So, ag is all, and we don't need to get into that, but from Ohio Revised Code, more than the zoning resolution, so somebody wanted to have, you know, a goat or chickens or something in there, they could. I don't think there's anything that we could do to say they couldn't.
But it's my understanding we're giving them more use or more specific use, but it doesn't erase the original use.
Right.
If they wanted to go back to that.
Yeah, that's, yeah, thank you. That well put. Anything else from the board? Okay, then should we do that? All right, then I'm going to close. Do you have any more questions for the applicant or staff? Okay, then
I do believe we might have, you know, looking at all these questions we have to go through.
Yes.
Is there a way to leave it open while we go through
them? Sure, absolutely, because if we need to, why not?
Sure, meeting.
Okay, so we'll go through the standards, and if we have questions, we may come back to you, but we may not, and then we'll close that part of the discussion, and then the board will go into discussion independently. So, just so you know, what's going to be going back forward. So, you're up.
Oh, I'm up. Okay. Volunteer me. I mean, we can do this. All right, so the board's going to discuss all of the subsets of Section 303. And I'm going to just read this into the record. The Genoa Township Zoning Resolution, Section 1609.01F, prohibits human occupancy in an accessory building unless a conditional use is approved. Section 303 states that conditional uses may be permitted provided that such uses shall be found to comply with the requirements as listed in Section 303. The board will review this application based on the requirements listed as follows. We need to discuss the reasons why or why not proposed use does or does not comply with the requirement. So going through, looking at Section 303.01, the use is so designed, located, and proposed to be operated so that the public's health, safety, welfare, and convenience will be protected. I would say yes. Heard that the neighbors have no problem with the health, safety, or welfare convenience of their neighborhood. 303.02, the use will not result in the destruction, loss, or damage of natural, scenic, or historic features of major importance. There's no evidence that there's going to be any new construction that would impact any of these things.
We'll do a couple of things. Okay.
We'll discuss whether you agree with me.
Oh.
The use will be designed, constructed, operated, and maintained so that it shall not cause substantial injury to the value of the property in the area or neighborhood where it is to be located. There's no evidence or discussion that it would do any of these things. In fact, the neighbors said that they believe that it adds aesthetic value to their property. 303.04, the use shall be compatible with adjoining development and the proposed character of the zoning district where it is to be located. It won't be changing anything about the character of the rural residential zoning or the district or the neighbors, I don't believe. The use will be served adequately by essential public facilities and services such as highways, streets, police, and fire protection, drainage structures, refuse disposal, water and sewers, and schools, or that the persons or agencies responsible for the establishment of the proposed use shall be able to provide any such services adequately. We haven't heard from the fire chief or anyone else that said that this would block any of the services or inhibit them. 303.06, the use will not create excessive additional requirements at public cost for public facilities and services and will not be detrimental to the economic welfare of the community. Public facilities and services include, but are not limited to, fire and police protection or other emergency services, roadways, intersections, traffic lights, and sanitary and storm sewers. Again, there's been no discussion of any changes or excessive additional requirements that will be charged to the public. 303.07, adequate landscaping and screening are provided as required under Article 20. I don't think we've discussed this in detail, but sounds like the neighbors think that the landscaping is adequate and screening is provided. 303.08, adequate off-street parking is provided and ingress and egress is so designed as to cause minimal interference with traffic on abutting streets. We we've heard no evidence that there's any traffic interference that would change if we granted this. 303.09, the use conforms to all applicable regulations governing the district in which it is located. I believe it currently does. There's no evidence that it doesn't or it hasn't been discussed. 303.10, the use is compatible with the standards, objectives, and policies of Genoa Township Comprehensive Plan as amended and any revisions thereof. I believe that it does. Lastly, 303.11, the use will not involve uses, activities, processes, materials, equipment, and conditions of operation that will be detrimental to any person's property or the general welfare by reason of excessive production of traffic noise, smoke, fumes, glare, odors, or vibrations. And there's been no evidence that it would. Oh, sorry, I lied. 303.12, any other supplementary requirements as prescribed by the Board of Zoning Appeals. And we have not discussed any supplementary requirements, but I guess this would be the time to discuss.
I guess we can head there.
Yes.
I'm not, thanks for doing that, by the way. I'm a little stuck on 9 and 10. 303.10. I'm not sure that it does conform to all applicable regulations when you get into variances and the improvements have actually gone beyond the variance. Because I don't think that when that variance was approved back in 96 that it was contemplated that this would end up being, and for, I think I saw it in here somewhere, I'm just pulling a number out of the air, 1,200 square feet of additional space, which I'm not sure, it may conform to the letter of the regulation, but I'm not sure that's what was envisioned when it was approved.
How would we investigate
but
that?
You can't. Unfortunately, we can't go back there and get into their minds.
But it's not non-conforming. We haven't heard today that it's non-conforming.
True. That's true. That's a good point. I guess the thing I'm stuck on the whole property is that it's zoned rural residential. It really is a non-conforming property in rural residential, and that's really my sticking point with it. And then, are we making it better or worse by approving a conditional use permit? I guess that's really the question that's on the table. Because it really does conform to 303.11. You know, it's not going to create any traffic noise. It complies with the rest of them, I believe. You know, it doesn't impede public services. It doesn't, you know, I mean.
So is your concern that it could be commercial use or the Airbnb issue or people coming in and out of there
well,
for some other purpose than residing?
That could be a component of it. And I think that we have in the past seen these and limited that. And I think in this case, what's that? I think in this case, we may consider doing that.
What would you suggest?
For non-commercial purposes only. We've actually, in my recollection, had two of these, one over on the side of Hoover where they wanted to have an accessory unit approved for living space that they specifically wanted to use for an Airbnb, and we either declined it or approved it with the provision that they could not use it for an Airbnb, and then the one up here on Old 3 where it was for relatives, just for relatives to come and stay, and it was for, again, non-commercial purposes. So,
non-commercial, non-rental?
Right. That would be, because I don't think it complies with the code if you rent that out. But you can tell me along. Staff, you have a comment. Please comment.
So, the commercial use of the building, in the accessory building, such as a bread and breakfast, or is not specifically listed as a conditional use in the standards for a rural residential district. So if a future owner wanted to do such, they would be back before you again.
Okay.
Because I know, you know, usually what happens with these type of improvements is people buy these and they use these for offices and they keep equipment, construction equipment, heavy equipment, whatever, and it's their office, their business is run there. In fact, I just saw one today where they live and they work at the same place. It just happens to be that their office is out in the court barn. It's a consideration. I don't know if that's a criteria to approve or deny it, but.
Well, I think we need to discuss that if we're going to do this before we vote on it. I mean, I personally don't think I care. I think if we're granting the commercial use for somebody to live in it, I mean, I don't live there, but I don't know if the neighbors care, but I mean, if somebody's going to be living in it, I don't care if it's a relative or if they rent it out. As long as it complies with all these other things, you know, as long as it's not causing problems for services or causing undue sewage problems or, you know, any things we've come in. I wouldn't feel obligated to limit it.
That's fair.
Susan, can you run through the commercial part again? Do we need to make that a condition or not?
I think so.
We don't.
They have to come back.
So that if it is a commercial use of any type, they've got to come back.
They've got to come back, that's what she said.
This conditional use, his application is only to allow it to have living space, be occupied by humans.
Okay.
Because the code does not permit an human occupancy of an accessory building without a conditional use.
Okay.
But that's different than somebody renting it out as a bread and breakfast. That's a conditional, or that would be a commercial use if you're renting it, using it as a bread and breakfast.
And that's a separate criterion from just the conditional use for human occupants.
They would be back before
they would
have
to come back.
If, you know, to do that properly, they would have to separate application, be back before a board of zoning appeals.
So conceivably, the buyer, if they wanted to do that, would have to come back in.
Correct.
They would have to come in.
Correct.
Okay.
Or the neighbors are going to get mad because every weekend there's somebody new coming in and out of there. And that's how we'd hear about the problem. Yeah, I mean, I don't have an issue.
I guess my concern is we're seeing this one after the fact. I'd hate to see that happen and then them come to us. Again, after the fact, I'd feel more comfortable if we made that a condition now so that it's clear to the buyer and any other.
But it's implied that we're doing this in a residence, not a commercial use. Because my question was the very same. Do we need to say that, or is it implied if we grant this that they're going to have to come back for commercial use? And you're saying they would have to come back.
You can state that in the motion.
Yeah, do we need to clarify that?
I mean, if you want to state that for the record...
Mm-hmm.
It's that, well, it clarifies the intent of the board and the motion and the potential approval, I guess.
That's
what
we're going to vote on.
Sure.
That's more restrictive.
I mean, I probably am more comfortable with it than not doing it that way.
So, approval of conditional use of the owner's agreement with the following conditions: that future owners will not use this for commercial purposes unless they come back to the board.
Can we do that? I get,
well,
yeah. Well,
she's saying
sure we can, because it attaches
sure
to the property. Of course we can. Okay, I got it. Yes.
And that's what you're saying. The
I mean, if you want to put that in there for clarification,
right.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think it's good to have it.
Or just state, maybe just a statement that says that commercial use would require further review by the board.
Okay.
then I will move to incorporate exhibits A through I into evidence to approve a conditional use in accordance with section 1609.01F of the Genoa Township zoning resolution for BZA case number 2018-02, application received March 1st, 2018, to allow for human occupancy in an accessory building on property located at 7564 Plum Road, zoned rural residential, based on the standards listed in section 303 of the Genoa Township zoning resolution and the aforementioned findings. Approval of a conditional use is subject to the owner's agreement to the following condition. Future commercial uses would require further review by the Genoa Township Board of Zoning Appeals.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I will second it.
All right.
Should we check with Mr. Bryant and see if he approves of that condition before we vote on it or not?
We can. Mr. Bryant, are you comfortable with that? If you come to the podium, you've heard the motion.
Yes.
The condition is that, does that make sense to you?
It does.
Okay.
Yes, I approve it.
Is that okay? All right, okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. Any discussion? All right, then I think if there's no further discussion, then I will call the roll. Mr. Boone?
Yes.
Ms. Driscoll?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Ms. Smith?
Yes.
And Chair votes yes. Motion is carried. Your conditional use permit is approved, and this hearing is closed at 7:48 p.m.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We do have a couple of items of other business. If you guys want to go ahead and you can stay or not, whatever you want to do. But I do want to announce the next meeting is April 24th, 2018, at 7 p.m., and it will be for training. If you recall,
just one quick question.
Oh, sure.
When will we get formal notice? Oh, to the lender.
Typically, you don't get a letter until after they've approved the minutes, and
okay.
That's not till their next meeting.
We have a closing scheduled for next Friday.
Is there a way to expedite that for him, Susan, without having a special meeting?
I'm sure we can get you something. Just check with me tomorrow.
Okay, I'll do that.
Because I don't think we have a problem doing that. Because like, when is your transaction trying
to
close?
He's got a closing next week.
Yeah, next Friday is the closing.
I mean,
yeah, exactly.
It's on the recording. So
sure.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. You all have been very professional.
No problem, thank
you. Really appreciate it.
Good luck.
Thank you. Okay, so moving forward, we do have a meeting on April 24th at 7 p.m. For training and reorganization. If we have more than one application, then we'll probably delay the training to the following meeting. Is there anything right now in the pipeline or?
I did have a meeting with a potential application, but
okay.
I haven't received anything
okay.
as of yet.
So right, and when's the cutoff? Like Friday? I don't know, March
probably
is,
next.
March
it's
is
usually
such a
the
month that I
first
track.
Friday of the month.
So oh, okay. So we need 6 Friday. All right. Okay. So we'll all be back here next month. Except
Susan, how long is the training expected to last? Is it like an hour? Do they tell you about an hour?
Okay. And then on that note, we will move to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Mr. Phillips, seconded?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carried. Meeting is adjourned at 7:52 p.m.
Here's my scribbles, if that would help, since I'm not sure how that works as far as recording it.